back on the farm.
Well, hi there. You're just in time for Hillbilly Heartbeats of the Air, so come on in and set a spell. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just sort of brighten up your Saturday here in general. Good morning to you, May.
Good morning, Fred. How are you this morning, Fred? All okay, fine. Really look fine. He's always fine. And thank you, Fred, so much. And good morning, dear friends. How are you this fine morning? Oh, Lord, I'm hoarse. It is still a beautiful world, though so many sad things come to us. I have been saddened the last 2 days because our dear Viola died day before yesterday. Viola Wooten, of whom I have told you so often. Viola, you know, the invalid who had the muscular dystrophy and was bedfast. Only she could scoot around a little in a small chair at times that had a row that put rollers on it to try to help herself. Viola, who wrote the book of poems so many of you have bought, and she was so happy about it. You remember I told you only 2 weeks ago that I was afraid Viola was failing and her time might come soon, as there is no cure for muscular atrophy or dystrophy. They call it both, you know. The muscles go back on you. She lived alone, which should never have been, of course. No invalid at all should be alone, especially of nights. But she had a woman who came 3 afternoons a week and worked and cleaned for her and kept her little house going. She couldn't afford a woman all the time. They found Viola Tuesday about noon in the floor in the kitchen, where she had fallen from her little chair with rollers on it that she could sort of hunch around in and get herself something out of the icebox. She seemed to have been trying to get a little supper. She apparently had lain all night and all day the next day until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The doctor said she suffered a stroke, brain hemorrhage, you know, and fell from her chair. She was breathing but not conscious. Awfully glad she wasn't conscious lying all that time. They rushed her to the hospital and she passed away Thursday. All her friends are so saddened, and of course her brother and her sister who live here, live out at Stratford. She will be buried Monday beside her beloved husband in the beautiful National Cemetery here. God rest Viola. She was a most beautiful girl, it seems to me, not so many years ago, and she fell a victim to this incurable malady at about 17. Beautiful girl. She had a lovely singing voice. She was 60 years old when she died, and she didn't look over 30. Great big eyes and dark hair. She was very pretty. I visited her only a few days ago, and believe me, I shall always be so glad I went and had that long visit, and little did I dream it was the last visit. We got out the music, and I played her piano, and we sang almost everything in the book. It was a wonderful night, just Viola and me. Then I came home in a taxi. Some way I've been running over in my mind all day a little poem. You know, Viola was crippled for the rest of her life, of course, had she lived longer. And if this stroke had not have taken her, why, the muscular dystrophy, her lungs were playing, the muscles of her lungs were playing out and the muscles of her heart. But she looked well, and she had lots of vitality for her. But God has made her straight and beautiful now, like she used to be. And the little poem, Broken Things, I want to read it. God has a special place for broken things, for shattered trees, for birds with crippled wings, for little children born too weak and small, the sick, the blind, the lame. He sweeps them all into some special paradise where he will make them whole for all eternity. Since this is so, then surely he must take a loving care of hearts that sometimes break. Yes, I'm saddened, and I know the many, many people who have written to Viola through me, and those to whom she wrote are saddened. I felt I had to tell you about it this morning. But life goes on, and death is a part of life. Some still white winter night, I too shall sleep within God's acre near a quiet town. And over me the mantle of the snow will spread its soft, maternal, clinging gown. And like the silvery cadence of a bell, all the great music which I deeply loved will weave about my heart its ancient spell. Yes, I shall slumber on nor be afraid, since part of those I loved I then shall be. Yet this I ask, dear friends, when snowflakes fill the air, that you will think of me. Well, our world is upset again for sure, isn't it? One thing seems to come right on top of another. The terrible threat of the military base Khrushchev is trying to put in Cuba, costing untold thousands, and he calls it a fishing project, or whatever it is he calls it, a place to, says, to catch and pack fish for use in the Soviet Union, that they haven't enough. Fish my eye. They've had fishing boats running around here now for a couple of years. And the fishing business they seem to have worked on us so far, not fishing boats at all. They're just boats creeping around with radar and secret devices to find out where our submarines are. And then there's the awful trouble in Mississippi. We just get one thing sort of settled and here comes another. Pardon me. I note now that the president wants America to make a special drive and push against the terrible narcotic business in our country and dope addicts and dope dealers and all. Oh, and that's a thing that must be attended to, or we will reap the whirlwind if we don't. And also they want us to make a special drive against juvenile delinquency. Well, that's one of the great problems of the world today, and it seems particularly our problem in the United States. You know, we're all in the United States a set of spoiled brats, kids and grown folks and all. We've had too much and wealth and everything. We're just spoiled brats. But juvenile delinquency is 99% parental delinquency. Maybe that's too strong. I should say about 75%. I don't think I'm missing it. There are millions of children today in the cities, particularly in youth in the United States, who don't even know where their parents are half the time, or what their parents are doing, or what they're drinking, or when they'll be back home to get them something to eat besides a cold weenie, or iron the children a clean shirt or a dress. It's awful. You know, there's a little poem about that, too. 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. And so with the sheep, we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the lambs are lost, what a terrible cost some sheep will have to pay. And that's the truth. Thanks so much to those who sent me trading stamps last week. I will drop you a line, everyone. God bless you. We're all so anxious about this bus, and the stamps are piling up, but not nearly as fast as we'd like. Please squeeze me out a few more. Faith will remove mountains, you know. I want to say happy birthday to a dear little woman, Josephine Pearson of Exeter, Missouri, who will be 57 tomorrow. She's the mother of the dear girl, that Betty Pearson, that I have living with me, who is going to the business college. We got the mother to come up and spend her birthday with us this weekend, and we're having a lot of fun. Mrs. Pearson is a cute little woman, about as big as a pound of soap, but she's a very intelligent little thing and a wonderful wife and mother, and that's what all it takes to make a woman anyway, a wonderful wife and mother. Happy birthday, Mrs. Pearson, and many, many more. I want to read a cute thing for you. I wish I could remember if I've already told you about it. I can't remember the thing. And I just don't look back to see. You all remember the famous Lum and Abner on the radio a few years ago. They lived in Mena, Arkansas. Oh, how many years was that? 20 or 25, maybe. And their hillbilly tomfoolery on the air and their tales of their possum hunts and so on made them famous all over the country. You know, they gave a great big possum banquet every fall. I got invited one time, but I couldn't go. And one time the mayor of New York came to their possum banquet. And Lum Just Arkansas boys, but my, you ought to see them now. Lum is Mr. Chester Locke, L-A-U-K. He lives in Oklahoma now, Tulsa. He struck oil long ago, and he's very wealthy. He's a fine man, and he looks exactly to me like Tennessee Ernie. That's a funny thing, just about that age, and looks just like him. He was the master of ceremonies at the Eureka Springs Folk Festival 3 years ago, and he was great. Wish they could have him every time, but he came home this time just because it was his home state. He kept the audience in an uproar, and he teased me to death. Got me out on the stage before the whole crowd and teased me about why didn't I marry. And a lot of other nonsense. But he's one real chap, that Lum. Now just imagine me marrying, will you? That's about as likely as the cows coming home with red top boots on. This, I wonder if Fred's laughing, I wonder if he believes it. This is what the Arkansas, well, it's a fact, Fred. This is what the Arkansas Gazette wrote about Lum. They said that Lum says Arkansas people are pretty good thinkers. He says we may not give an answer right away, but it's usually because we're thinking ahead. We ain't doing so much setting, we're thinking, he says. Then he cited the case of a friend of his from Pine Ridge, who was sitting alone on a train one day, minding his own business. He was winding his pocket watch when a young man behind him asked him what time it was. Well, this Pine Ridge man refused to tell the fellow the time. The fellow didn't know what to think, but he gave him this reason. He said, now, if I was to tell you the time, that would like as not start a conversation, and the next thing you know, you'd be moving to this seat, and we'd get acquainted. And we'd get to be friends. And the next time you'd come through Pine Ridge, you'd stop in at my house and you'd have a meal with us. Then you'd notice my daughter, Gussie, who's an uncommon good-looking gal. And you'd start to spark in her. And the next thing you know, you'd be a-wanting to marry her. And that's why I'm not going to tell you what time it is. Well, I don't understand, said the confused young man. Well, said the fellow from Pine Ridge, I don't want my daughter to marry no man that can't afford to buy herself a watch. Now, if that isn't figuring it out ahead, what is? Hooray for that Arkansas-er. Oh, I tell you, Arkansas is a great state. I love it. Love everybody in it. My time's just about up. Time marches on. Don't forget the big jamboree they're going to have at Cassville, Missouri, the 19th, 20th, and 21st of October. Put on by the Chamber of Commerce and with the able assistance of Ms. Lida Wilson Piles. Also, the big annual folk festival at Eureka Springs, October the 26th, 27th, and 28th. I hope to be at both of them with my hair braided. And now a thought to close, and I want you to take this with you the whole week, and I'm through. If you are weary on life's road and everything seems drear and losses loom on every side and skies don't seem to clear, throw back your shoulders, lift your head, and cease to chafe and fret. Your dividends will be declared. God's bank ain't busted yet. My love to Edie. Hello, Edie. Send you my love. And Ginny. Goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and I can catch my pony.